Hello, family. Here we are yet again. I'm always getting tongue-tied at the beginning. It's like bloopers for me that I just don't even edit them out. I'm like, forget it. You gonna get all of me.
Right.
I have Kayla here with me today, and we're talking about why our worship is real and just the topic in worship in general. You know, we've been talking about this for a while now. And she's gonna introduce herself. I was reading over her bio. Look, this, you want to get plugged in because you do the same thing. We're on the same page. We're doing the same stuff in different places. And that's what makes it so real that God is omnipotent, because I'm here and you're there. But when we both do this, when our hands are raised, I mean, we basically in the same house.
Right, we're sisters. It's all right.
Right. So I would love for you to introduce yourself. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to listen. And then we're going to get into it.
Thank you so much. My name is Kayla. I am now a Christian mentor and life coach for women. And I get to serve women. I get to help them grow their relationship with God. I get to help them understand his word and live out his truth in their everyday life. Like, really learn how to walk it out. I grew up as an athlete, was an elite athlete playing basketball in college, national champions, and then I ended up having a career with the National Basketball Association. So that, like, determined fight, like, go-getter, that's always been in me. And then I found myself earning another degree studying the Bible. Wow. I went back to school at Arizona Christian University when I was almost 30, and got my degree in all things Bible. And God has just not, I wouldn't say he's transitioned me. He has used every piece of every journey I've been on. And I can now see that he actually orchestrated every path that I've been on. The Bible says that he examines every path we take. And I can see that now, even when I wasn't fully following him or didn't know any better, he still used that path. Wow. So now I can be a life coach for women now. But I pull from my athletic side, I pull from my coaching side, I pull from a decade as a personal trainer, I pull from all of that to be able to serve the women that he's called me to serve and that he sends my way. And now I'm the host of the His Word My Walk podcast, so every week I release episodes how to really take his word and walk it out, and how he's helped me do that in my life. And I'm just so grateful. I love being able to connect with other women of God. Man, especially when you want to talk about worship or his word, like, I am all in. So I'm just so excited to be here today.
Yes, and we are so excited for you to be here. And so I think the first question is what most people, we often like, you know how, like, everybody likes tacos, but don't everybody like sour cream? So that's how life works. Like, you get to the place where you're, like, in the sanctuary, or you're in a place, even if it's, like, maybe a youth event, you know, just things where you attend, and you get to where you're like, I don't think I'm gonna raise my hands, and I don't think I'm gonna, you know, how would you explain to someone, like, the necessariness to get over you in that moment? Because you can feel the pull, but sometimes you look in a scene, or you're trying to, like, look for your phone, and you literally, and then, you know, of course some people gonna start jumping out of the aisles, or somebody might visibly say God or thank you, glory, and you feel, but you're not receiving in a way.
I think there are so many levels to any relationship, right? And, like, one of the biggest things I teach women is your relationship with God is a real relationship. And once you can recognize that and treat it like that, that's when you can grow with him. This isn't just, like, a patty cake type of thing. This isn't a Sunday morning type of thing. This isn't a, you know, it looks good or I'm supposed to kind of thing. If you can get to the point where this is a real relationship, I mean, you will go to, I can't think of a restaurant with a girlfriend, and you don't care what happens. You don't care what people hear you talk about. You don't care how loud you laugh, or if, like, your soda comes out your nose. Like, you don't care, because this is the relationship between the two of you, and you don't care what everyone else around you thinks. Wow. And if we can get to a point like that with God, it does not matter what everyone else around us is doing or thinks of us. Mm. But I also think there's an important part of not feeling like you're not good enough, or not pointing out differences in a way that just because someone doesn't raise their hands in worship or in singing, that doesn't mean that they're not at a different level with God, right? Like, let's not tear people down either. Let's worry about yourself.
Yes. Like,
let's really worry about ourselves. But if, when you feel led to move, it's time to move. And if that means swaying side to side, if that means clapping your hands on or off beat, like if that means raising your hands, if you feel led to move, it's time to move and like let God flow with you in that.
Yeah, and I think that is such a good thing that you reiterated how people show worship in different ways, because sometimes we get stuck on what we see, and we can talk about worship, but how can we talk about worship without identifying what we see first? That's the first thing people do see, is what I see people doing. And you think, okay, some people may say, oh, you guys are just kidding, or you guys are doing too much, or it don't take all of that. Well, in reality, it does take all of that and then some, because you don't know where they came from to get them to that point where even if they don't do anything at all, you'd be like, oh, they're just standing there. But their spirit is rising. You can't even figure out the level of the magnitude that they're thinking in such a level that God is like, I got you. You know, you plugged in. And I would definitely say, where has worship started for you? Like, what really drew you to that relationship to where you became a real worshiper?
So, I mean, gosh, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was raised in an incredible family. My mom got saved when I was in junior high, and then me shortly after. But my dad, not until he was in his 60s, at a youth service that I was preaching. So imagine that one. I literally gave the microphone back to the pastor. I like didn't know what to do. So my dad raised his hand, and I was like, and then my brother, I'm still praying for. So I wasn't raised in the church. I wasn't raised seeing other people worship like that. So it wasn't until I actually started working for the NBA and I was like, okay, I'm a grown up now. I have my own place, my own car. I feel like I should find a church. Mm-hmm. And I was living in Alabama at the time, and I found a church that became home for me. Mm-hmm. And the way that they worshiped is a feeling that I had never experienced. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I first would say I really first learned and saw worship, not just as a word, but as so much more than that.
Wow.
And I want to get into this before we end, but like we often just associate worship with music, and there's so many other ways to worship God. For me, music is not the number one way that I worship God.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I just like, as I started to grow in my own relationship, obviously music was the start, because I didn't know what else, you know, I didn't know what else to do. And music, you can always play in your car, in your everything, you can catch the beat, all the things. And then I went back and got my degree as a Bible major, and all the things, I'm reading God's word, I'm doing all this like checklist type of stuff. Like, you would look at me and think, this girl is like the super Christian, like sermons on YouTube all day, always gospel music, always reading a book. And there was one day in 2017 that I was reading a chapter of a book every day. It was like a T.D. Jakes or a Joyce Meyer or something. I committed to that. Every morning before the gym, I will read a chapter a day. And the Holy Spirit helped me in a moment that has changed my life and said, time about God is not the same as time with God.
Mm.
And I had realized in that moment, I was singing songs about God. I was listening to sermons about God. I was listening to other people tell me about God. I was reading about God. And I wasn't spending any time with him. I looked at my Bible as a college textbook.
Mm.
And that very day in 2017, I stopped reading any other book. And every morning I read a chapter of the Bible, and it's now been 6 years almost.
Wow.
So that became how I worship God, is I spend time with him in his word every day. And that has changed my life. Like, that's how I fight my battles.
Amen.
That's not worship. Love a good song. you know, will cry, yes. Hands raised, face on the floor, on my knees, snot, all the stuff.
Come on.
But his word, like that time, just he and I, that's worship for me. I worship him by reading his word.
Yeah, and I love that you transition to remind the listener who is listening, who is like, I've never really maybe had a chance to worship, and so I'm wondering, should I be thinking to copy others? You know, that's why it becomes real, because your form is built for the way God made you every time. So like the last year we did a conference, it's called May Overflow, where a lot of the other women who have been on the podcast that came back, or even some new ladies, and one that in particular, her name is Jamila Roche, she was saying the number one thing, like she had a list of the number, like three things, but her number one was, it's God's quality, giving God my quality versus quantity. Yeah. And she should, I mean, it was like the conference just had to take a pause and was like, wait a minute, let me think about this. I can do 1,000 things and claim, God, I've spent time with you, but I've never spent time in you. Totally different. And I think that worship is not defined by what we see. Worship is that intimacy. It's the authenticness that when you cry and you can't get a hug, you can get a hug in worship. And God gives you strength when you were just weak all of a sudden. Like, and it's not all of a sudden to him. It's like, oh, I was waiting on you to invite me in so I could refresh you. And it's such a peaceful thing. I want to ask you, what would you say if someone is in a trial, right? They're just tussling with something, whether it's physical or mental. Would you encourage them to focus more on what they have been going, like what they have going on? Or would you encourage them to really like just dig into worship and how to put God in front of that situation?
I'll tell you this. We're going to go through stuff in life. And the Bible tells us that we will. The Bible tells us we're going to suffer. The Bible tells us we're going to be persecuted. The Bible tells us that we're in good company when we go through those things. It doesn't make them any easier. Like, we are still humans and we still have emotions. Sometimes I think about, we often quote the scripture that like God made us so wonderfully complex. And I think about that and I'm like, yeah, because my emotions get all over the place.
Okay.
Like, that's part of the wonderfully complex. I'm like, these emotions as women, like, look, day by day, hour by hour. So know that your emotions are fine. Like, don't let anyone tell you, you have to press through something. You have to do it this way. Let your emotions be your emotions. But what does God say? And what is the truth? So one of the things I really help women with, and that I have a free guide that I can get to you, is that I help you. It's called Get Unstuck. And I help give you powerful prayer. So the Bible says to take every thought captive, right? But it doesn't stop there. The sentence does not stop. It says, and make it submit to God's truth, right? And take it unto Christ. And we have to take these thoughts captive and speak God's truth over them. Because I think about if we take these thoughts or these trials or whatever we're going through, and we just say like, I'm just going to take that captive and put it in jail. Just in the back of my mind, it can't get out. I don't know if you've ever been in a jail or watched a documentary about a jail. Those thoughts don't stop speaking. When you put people in jail, they don't stop speaking. They get worse and they are throwing stuff at windows and they're like all the things. Right? And so the way we have to do it, we can't just take these thoughts or these trials captive. We have to find God's truth of what he says and continue to speak that over the situation until it taps out. Wow. Like, you got to put Satan and that thought in a headlock and continue to speak until he taps out. And that's the only way to do it. Your words can't do it. Your powerful thoughts can't do it. Your daily affirmations can't do it. God's word is what has the power. And so if you're going through something, if you're going through a trial, if you're going through a hard time, I mean, Google if you have to. Reach out to a mentor, reach out to somebody, but find a scripture that you can speak over that every single day all day, every day. Put it on your mirror, put it on your dashboard in your car. And I don't care where you put it, but hold on to that one scripture and continue to speak that. And if you don't know the exact scripture, just know God's principle, right? If you're having a hard time being loved, you feel like no one will ever love you, God is love.
Yes, he
you know,
is.
If you are an older woman who hasn't had children yet and desires to have children, Sarah had a baby, right? You don't have to know the exact scripture, but if you know the truth of who God is and what he's already done,
right.
He did it before,
he can do it again. Come on. Right. Yeah, and I agree. I agree. The fact that, and it feels like even right now, I mean, I know I'm inside. I can just feel like the shining of the Holy Spirit just saying like, that is going to set someone free. Because we often feel like if something's wrong, I need to immediately go solve this. And we'll go do anything to solve it. But it's time to really take a perspective change and look at, if I solve this way, what else is being neglected? And oftentimes we work and you know, work is, you know, some people say, you know, I gotta go to work. I gotta, you know, you're doing these things and everything else is taken care of. So that's good. I'm gonna go to church, you know, and it's like, wait a minute. Going to church is not work. Going to church is a delight, but your church is you always. You are the church walking into work. And so how are you been worshiping as a church in front of people who don't even want to go to church, don't even want to know anything about God? And I love that we're getting into that space where God is just like, I'm shining myself through this podcast, you know, through your podcast, to remind people that it's your real, your innocence is what I'm after to keep. Like, I, with me, with God, you will forever be innocent because I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to keep you in this place where it's not that I've got to put you in something to worship me. You're remembering things that I did a couple days. You're remembering right now that you just breathe in and out. God, thank you. Because, I mean, there's things happening all around. And so, I would say when life just, it seems like you can't get a break.
It's just life.
Yeah.
Life is lifing and you have to just keep on going.
Yes.
It's tough.
It is.
It is tough. I will share quickly. I just got back. So I just went and spent 2.5 weeks up in the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee in a cabin by myself.
Hmm.
I needed to get away. I felt like I was carrying the weight of everyone in my family, every one of my clients, I just felt like I gotta get away. I gotta get somewhere where it's just me, that no one's gonna ask me for anything. I cleared my calendar and I went for 2.5 weeks, like no car. I was up there with the bears.
Wow.
And the stuff that God showed me, and I didn't go there with the intention to press in to like have this moment with him. I went there because I just needed to get away. You know, I needed to make sure that I wasn't going to say something that wasn't coming from a good place to
right,
somebody.
Knowing when to pull back.
So I went, and the things that God did show up and show me,
amen.
I felt like I was carrying the weight of everybody, but I felt like I had to. You know, sometimes we get in these situations, especially as women, we got to carry everything for everyone, right? Like if you see, I always laugh at the images, but like if you see a family at Disneyland, it is the mom that has every backpack, every treat, everything. Like they're carrying everything for the whole family, right? And sometimes as women, we just take it all and carry everything. And I was praying one day, and I was actually on another podcast, and the man that was interviewing me said, I just saw this vision, and I don't know if it's for you, but let me just share. And it was this vision of like hands just sitting open, and I immediately started to cry. And I was just like, that's what I've been feeling. And God's really been speaking to me about everything that he gives me to hold it with my hands open. And if at any time he wants to take it, or I ask him to take it, he can just pluck it right out of my hands. But if I close my fists and I'm holding on to everything tight, first of all, he can't just take it. He's gonna hurt me if he does forcefully take it, as I'm asking him to take it,
right?
Right? And just this image of like, everything. I went to every relationship, every business, every ministry, every person, and just like making sure that I'm holding these things with open hands. Because when I do ask God to take it, am I allowing him to take it? Right. You know, when we're going through stuff, sometimes it's like we're asking God to take it away, but we're holding on to it too tight. Mm. We're holding on to the emotions of being angry. We're holding on to the pressure of we have to do it or we look like a failure. We're holding on to the I'm a woman, so I should have this, or I should be this, or I'm a wife, this is what it's supposed to look like. And we're holding on so tightly to these expectations that we've put on ourselves, or right. the world put on us, not other believers, the world has put on us. But we're holding it so tightly that when we ask God to take it, he's like, I'm trying, but like, I'm gonna break all your fingers. Right. Like, it's gonna be painful for you if you don't release it and let me take it. Mm. So I don't know, I hope that can help somebody, because that has changed how I will walk out my time serving women. I will no longer hold with closed fists at yeah. all.
And I think a big thing too is reminding, like as you said, you know, the interview was unexpected, and that's how God is. He is so on time with being unexpected. Yeah. And the thinking about open hands, to me, it's just like, it is such a prophetic thing for people to walk around. Like, everybody knows, okay, there's gifts that God has given us. But yeah. everybody, I think, has a version of understanding prophecy. However, you might have a polluted way of receiving it. Yeah. And so, if we just think about this, if somebody gave me something, can have it, I can get it if my hands are open. I know, because you got to understand the natural before you can yeah. go into the spiritual. So if I'm worshiping and I'm like closed fists and God is like, raise your hands, you know, it's like, wait a minute, like,
right,
you know, like I know my hands are raised, but they're closed, God. Yeah. And of course, you know, when people say lift your voice, any type of engagement, there's that hindrance to keep you being the person that's like, I'm not gonna do this. And so everybody listening can see that. I know I've done it. I've been that person. I'm like, well, no, you know, Lord. You know, I can even share. There's a time where I told God, I don't want to go down to the altar right now. You know, I'm good. I feel like I'm okay. And he's like, yeah, go. Yeah, yeah. You know, go down there now. And those steps in walking towards your destiny feel so scary, but they're so necessary. And I think that's how worship really is where you get to this intimacy that is not a touch feel I think thing anymore. It's I know. And now, like you said, I'm literally putting the word of God on a situation and leaving it. Like, I'm dropping the mic and walking away. Yeah. And I'm doing it in such a way where my hands are, I'm picking it up and dropping it, you know, here you go, God. Yeah, somebody brought this to me and I'm giving it back to you. So as we close our episode, I would love to hear whatever God has put on your heart for a woman or a young gentleman who could be listening as well. I guess maybe I could say it this way. What makes it worth it to keep going when worship feels to be hindered? Like, I know that I'm pressing, I'm going. He said I needed to get away. What happens when you get away, but I guess maybe, how do you say that? I guess I'm trying to get to God, but it seems like everything is getting to me. So I'm frustrated. How do I get out of this, focus on my frustration and back into my worship?
Like, what's the alternative? You know, like, are you gonna quit? Like, I think back to being an athlete. I know you know what training is like. Like, are you gonna quit?
Wow.
Like, are you gonna quit? Like, there is a goal that we have set ahead of us. And the amazing thing about where you serve and where I was as an athlete is we're part of a team. As believers, we are part of a team. This is a family of believers. We are all children of God. I'm not fighting the enemy on my own. And I'm not fighting a different enemy that you're fighting. So I have people that I can call. But when things are, like, getting hard, sometimes all you can do is raise a hand and not say a word. Sometimes all you can do is put on one song. If you listen to my podcast, right before I went up to the mountains, for 10 days, I listened to one song. It was Christ is My Firm Foundation. They sang it at a church in California when I was there. And that was the only song. Every walk, every drive, every anything, the flights, everything. One song on repeat. That's all I had in me. And I just picked those, well, God picked those words. And they repeated over and over and over. And like, it was all I could do to even like stand. I had nothing. I had canceled all my calls, you know, all the things. And that was it. I had one song. If you have one verse, if you have a friend that can give you one thing, like God breathed every single word of the Bible, every if, and, or but. And like, if all you've got is one verse to fight, know that every scripture has power, right? So you may be going through something emotionally, and Satan's trying to attack you. You can speak a John 3:16 to that. You may not think it relates, but it is God's word,
right?
Like I could challenge, and you could probably challenge every one of your listeners. Tell me one scripture that you have memorized. And we sometimes freak out. Man, you can do a John 3:16 on anything because it's God's word.
Yeah.
And his power comes with his word. Right. You don't have to always Google and research exactly what's going to speak to your situation, because you might not find it. You might not find the exact words you're looking for, because you don't know you're dealing with pride. So you're not looking for a scripture on pride. I know we're trying to end, so I'm not going to go there today. But find one scripture.
Amen.
Find one song, right? And just hold on to it. Yeah. Like, put it on your phone on repeat. Pick one. Just pick one and let that help carry you through until the breakthrough happens. And then when I tell you, the third day on the mountain, I woke up. I usually wake up singing a song, like a random song. And they're gospel, unless I was like on TikTok or something the night before, and then I'm frustrated. But
amen.
The third day, I woke up singing a new song.
Wow.
So for 14 days, I had one song. That was it. And the third day, I woke up singing a new song. When I tell you, the pep in my step, I went and worked out, like outside. I went for a walk. I got up and I was happy and just like opened all the blinds. It was this new song. And I laugh with God because it was like that one song is what was carrying me through. And that was really personal to me that I had this one song. And it wasn't that I was disciplined in listening to it. I just like didn't even have the energy to pick another one. Like it was just open on my phone all the time. It was just open. That was the only thing that would play when I plugged my phone in my car. And I woke up with a new song, and that changed the whole trajectory of the next 2 weeks.
Wow.
So whatever you can press in, whatever you have, that's all he's requiring. If all you have is one word and one song, that's enough for him.
Amen.
Like, it's enough. He'll carry you the rest of the way.
Yes. Oh my goodness. What a way to, I feel like we just hugged each other.
Yeah, I've been thinking about the word hug since you said it earlier. I was thinking about it before that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And I think that's a beautiful way too. And I pray that the listener feels that hug too, yes. To know, oh my goodness, after all of this, there will be a new song. And what a way to just worship, to even rejoice in thinking like, okay, there, it may be midnight, but like we know, and you know, at night you might cry for a while, but joy comes in the morning. And so we just encourage everyone on the podcast to get plugged in and to remind yourself that what is the alternative. I think that's what you say. What are you gonna do, quit? You know, are you gonna worship, or are you gonna quit? And then now you put into, you're not a pick, you know, it's not a hard decision. You're just gonna worship. Amen. If you choose the other thing, then there will be consequences. And so we thank you for joining us on the podcast. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I love you. I love you with the love of the Lord. You are more than welcome to come back on this podcast. You are not just a guest speaker. You are family now. You have set some people free. I can't wait to get the reviews going and people calling me and asking me, where is she? You know, of course, everything's going to be in the description. And she's got her own podcast, everyone. So we're going to be over there too, just listening and supporting. And we're praying that people get into a place where they worship and plug into God for real.
Yes.
Amen. All right. Well, I am so glad you were able to join me today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll see y'all in the next episode.